We're going through a series, and we're on our seventh week now, and we've been talking about becoming apprentices of Jesus. And we borrowed that language from John Mark Comer, a pastor who came out of Portland, but I think it's really good descriptive language, the idea of being an apprentice of Jesus, because the word discipleship is wonderful and it works well, but I think the reintroduction of that term apprentice, you are learning from and alongside of your teacher the way that they live and how to live like they live in every way. And so we're following our rabbi, our teacher, Jesus, and he's showing us how to be transformed and to live like he lives alongside of him. Now, that's a good thing, amen? So here we are, learning how to be apprentices of Jesus. And we do that by practicing the same things that Jesus did. I'm going to read a couple scriptures to you here because Jesus practiced certain things as a man. How many of you guys know Jesus was a human just like us? In fact, it says he was even tempted in every way that we've been tempted, yet he didn't sin. But he understands what we're going through. He's lived this life. He's been on this earth with no superpowers. Everything that he did under the power of the Holy Spirit, which we now have access to, the same Holy Spirit. So we can do some pretty super stuff. But we experience life on this earth as humans, and Jesus experienced the same thing. Yet, he was able to overcome and to accomplish everything God asked him to do on this earth, and he invites us to do the same. So we're apprentices of Jesus. We're learning those practices. And today, I want to point out a couple of those practices that Jesus had. Luke 4, verse 16 says this. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his, what's that word say? Custom. That's a practice. As was his custom, and he stood up to read. And you guys know the story. He read Isaiah 53. Said, I am the Messiah. The next one is Mark 1:35. It says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Say often. Often. That's a practice. Jesus was in the practice of on the Sabbath, keeping the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, he would go to the synagogue, which was a teaching house. So he would go, much like what we're doing right here, guys. We're the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church of God, the assembly of the saints. And we gather and worship on the Lord's day in the same way that Jesus would gather and worship on the Sabbath. It's a practice that he had. He was in the practice of doing it. If you wanted to know where Jesus was on a Saturday, where would you look? Anyone? The synagogue. Why? Because that was his practice. If you got up early in the morning and you went over to Jesus' house and you're like, where is he? Where would you find Jesus early in the morning? Yeah, some desolate place, because his practice was to go away and be alone with the Father early in the morning. Do you see that? So here we are, we have Jesus himself having consistent practices as the Son of the Most High God. And we're called to live like he did and practice what he did. In fact, he also invites us to abandon some of our practices, some of the practices of this world, some of the practices of dead religion. How many of you have ever picked up a couple of dead religion practices that you learned later? You're like, yeesh. And only me and Doug yesterday. Oh, a couple more of you. Okay, all right, good. Whew. I thought maybe it was just, we need to just be like, dude, we need to leave. We're making up the joint. Okay, Matthew, so I want to say this. Matthew 11, 25 and 30, Jesus is speaking to us, and he's actually inviting us to let go of some of those old practices and take his on. Here's the language he uses. I'm going to read it out of the CSB, and then I'm going to read it out of the Message. Am I talking too fast? Okay, just... literally going to be talking about the unhurried rhythms of grace. I need some help, Lord. I'll just set this over here. All right. One time as I was first getting out of addiction, I came home and I told my wife, babe, for the first time in my life, I'm actually not addicted to anything. And I had this cup of coffee in my hand. She goes, really? What's that? And I'm like, shut up, woman! And I was like, ooh, okay. Maybe I protest too much. I was so hurt, though. That was a win, baby. Anyway. I'm just glad to finally not be addicted to anything. Matthew 11 says this, at that time, I didn't actually yell at her, for those of you that are, I got really mad though. I was like, Karen, give me this one. So it was a little more whiny, less abusive. Okay, let's get back to what we're trying to do here, people. You're distracting me. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except for the Son and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to read it to you again in the Message. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father. Lord of heaven and earth, you've concealed your ways from the sophisticates and the know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. All the ordinary people say, amen. Amen. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique Father-Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line. Say line by line. Line by line. With anyone willing to listen. Are you tired? Raise your hand if you're tired. Are you worn out? Anyone worn out this morning? Come on. What about burned out on religion? Is anybody tired of some dead religious works? Me and Steve. Okay, Steve, we got to work on this, buddy. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live life freely and lightly. Come on. That is our rabbi. That is our leader, our teacher, our savior and our friend, telling us how he rolls. And he invites us to practice those same things. How many of you have ever grappled with the idea of the weight of learning to be more sophisticated in order to follow Jesus? Where you're just like, I'm not a smart person, right? You're like, I'm not all brainy and stuff. I don't remember scriptures very good. I'm not awesome at math. I don't know how to count how many days since Jesus created all things, right? Is there anybody here that you're just like, ah, yeah, it can be heavy. But here Jesus is saying to us, look, I haven't made it out of reach for you. Come to me, let me teach you. Now, some of you are very sophisticated and there's space for you too. The Lord is absolutely incredible, and you can love him with your heart, your strength, and your mind, and in fact, you're commanded to. But in following the practices of Jesus, he has not made it complicated or out of reach for us. He says, I want you to come and learn from me the unforced rhythms of my grace. Let me teach you how I live. Did you catch this? And as we do this, the thing that is beautiful about what God's called us to is that it's not ill-fitting. It's not heavy. It's not hard in the sense of unbearable burdens. Many of us have come out of other religions, and you find after a time that the very thing that you thought would save you becomes so heavy that you can't bear it anymore. And Jesus comes and says, listen, my burden is light. There is a work that you're called to, but it's handleable. And he gives us this simple, sustainable, transformational life that he calls us into. We can practice what Jesus practiced. So, what did he practice? In Matthew 7, I'm going to summarize and then I'm going to read you the last part of it. But when Jesus is teaching, he says, listen, I want you to learn from me. So then he begins to teach. And in Matthew 7, he begins to list many of the practices that he is calling us to live by, that he himself lived by. In Matthew 6, and then through 7. But in Matthew 6, 2, he says, so when you give to the needy, don't ring a bell and let everybody know what you're doing. But he says, when you give, we are to practice generosity in the same way that God came and gave his own life and gave us all things. So there will be generosity. It's a practice. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, to pray to your Father who is unseen, and then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. We see the practice of prayer and the practice of solitude. Go into a secret place. And we just read about that was one of the practices of Jesus. He would go into solitude and spend time with the Lord, asking God for what he needed. Prayer and solitude. Forgive others when they sin against you, and your heavenly Father will forgive you. How many of you are glad that Jesus practices forgiveness? Come on. And if you and I are going to thrive and live in this life with any measure of joy and peace, we also practice forgiveness. When you fast, he said, when you fast, don't disfigure your face and let everyone know, what are you doing? Fasting. No, he says, I want you to look good while you fast. Don't let anybody else know what you're doing. Fast between me and you. But a practice Jesus engaged in and that we also engage in is there's times of fasting. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart also will be. You can't serve God and money. We practice generosity and purposeful use of the finances that he's given us in stewardship. It's a practice that Jesus practiced when he was a carpenter and took care of business and when he ran a 501c3 company with 12 disciples. Are you with me? He practiced generosity and good stewardship. We do these things. I love this one. He says, don't worry about your life, don't worry about your food, and don't worry about your clothes. He practiced contentment. He practiced being a non-anxious presence, and we're called to do the same thing. He said, don't worry about pretty much all the stuff we worry about. And then he goes further. He says, don't even worry about your life. He says in verse 33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, houses and food and clothes and all that stuff. And he says, therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He practiced knowing that the Father will take care of business, and you and I are not called to worry, even about tomorrow. Anybody in here ever worry about tomorrow? Yeah, we just learned about confession like last week, so I expect a lot more hands. In community, guys. Come on now. It's a safe place. We just took communion. You're covered. Matthew 7, 24 through 27, he says this. Let's bring up this scripture. We'll read this together. Therefore, he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, say practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice, say, not practice. Okay, it's like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I want you to notice that regardless of whether you practiced or you didn't practice, the same stuff is going to hit your house. So following Jesus doesn't mean this stuff doesn't hit us. It means that our response and our life and the outcome is very, very different based on whether or not we are those that practice the way of Jesus or we're those that don't. Let's finish up that. It says that the rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Those of us who put his words into practice are those that when the streams come up, when the winds blow, when things beat against our house, when these things happen, we will not fall because our foundation is on the rock. We stay stable. We become and stand in Christ, like Christ, with Christ. Amen? So, what's the way that we engage and ensure that we're actually putting into practice the teachings of Jesus? How many of you guys have heard a similar preach to what I'm giving you right now before? Truly, raise your hand. How many of you have heard this preach, right? I mean, this is a pretty famous teaching of Jesus. He laid out his ministry and said, here's how you follow me. Here are my practices. And by the way, if you only hear this but you don't do it, you can expect that disaster is going to knock you out in this life, that the things of this life are going to knock you down. And we've heard that before. And I don't know about you guys, but I've heard this preached before and I have come away not encouraged, but rather discouraged because I pretty much just feel like, I know already, like I'm trying, okay? I'm trying. And I'm wanting transformation in my life. And you guys know that part of my life has involved recovery from addictions. And I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but everybody in here that understands addictions understands how frustrating it is to just feel like you're just repeating the same cycle over and over again. And you're like, golly, I really want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, but my life, I just feel like I'm just in this loop. And I think you don't have to be addicted to some terrible thing in order to also understand what it feels like to be stuck. How many of you have ever just felt stuck? And so sometimes when you're in that place and you've experienced that, and I think it's fair to say all of us have experienced stuckness at one point or another. And when you start hearing these kinds of messages, there's almost a resistance that comes up in you. I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And I just want to make some room for that in us, okay? That I'm going to close my eyes too. All of those starts, all of those times when we went to try a new thing and we thought, this is going to be the one, this is going to be it. And it went great for a couple of days, maybe even a week, maybe even a month. And then whoosh, right back to where we were. Feels like we didn't gain the ground at all. Another disappointment. I want you to just take that disappointment, that discouragement, those feelings right now of, okay, I'm trying to engage a new practice, but how will this be any different than before? Just let that come up. Those feelings, let them come up. Just acknowledge those failures, those hopes that didn't quite work out. Those books you read that you can't remember most of what they said. And then without criticism, without anything, just lift your hands up and say, Lord, I give this to you. Help me with whatever you have next. Amen. Jesus has invited us to embrace a way that brings transformation in our life, that we can practice what he practices in this life. And he said it's not ill-fitting, it's not more than we can bear, and that you don't have to be super smart in order for it to happen. So everybody here qualifies to practice what Jesus practiced according to what he said. Is that true? Okay, so So what's the breakdown? Like, what? Why is it that we're experiencing such mixed results? I don't know about you guys, but I have experienced some mixed results in this life. Have you? And part of what I think we really run into is that many of us do not have a rule of life or a vision for your life that encompasses what to do and how to get there, what it is that you live by. Now, many of us, you're here today, so many of us do have practices that we've already engaged. So let's just begin with this practice. Jesus, on the Sabbath, where was he? In the synagogue. Where are you right now?
In church.
In church. Why are you here? It's because you practice worship on the Lord's Day, right? Sunday is the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. On the Lord's Day, you came here to worship because one of your practices as a follower of God is already that you come together, as the scriptures say, do not be like those who cease gathering together, but rather spur one another all the more as the day approaches. You're here because as a Christ follower, an apprentice of Jesus, you are in the practice of worshiping together on Sunday. Give yourself a hand. Come on. You did good. You did good. This is good. This is a very important practice. I am going to say this. It kind of breaks my heart because so often we perish for lack of knowledge in not understanding how profound and powerful consistent practices are in keeping us in the faith and growing in Christ. One of the things that breaks my heart is this. There will be those that cease to gather together weekly to worship in the synagogue, as it were, with the ecclesia, in the church, right? In this place together. And then they begin to reason to themselves, all those people that I used to see and be close with, I never see them anymore. I guess they weren't really my friends. I guess I really wasn't a part of that church. I guess all of that was fake. Who changed their practice? Was it all the saints that are still gathering and staying connected in the Lord, being knit together as he inhabits our praises? Is it the saints who are in the practice of giving and praying and seeing one another and greeting one another weekly and spurring each other on and saying, your life matters and you're part of the whole and you're continuing on. Keep the faith. It's beautiful to see your face. Or was it those guys? Is it you? Did you guys change? Are you guys fake and shallow? Or is it that the one that the enemy has pulled out of fellowship, pulled out of gathering together, they've changed their practice, and they no longer feel the presence of the Lord inhabiting the praises of the people because they're not there praising with the people anymore. They're no longer feeling close to you because they're literally not physically close to you anymore. Do you see what I'm saying? How many of you know somebody that told you almost the exact same thing about it? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, have been that person? I have. Y'all changed on me before I got here. I was bitter and upset and didn't worship with any saints for a while. And they all got really shallow and stupid and fake. And I was disgusted with them. And then the Lord changed them and I'm back. You're in the practice of gathering and worshiping. So this is a beautiful practice. Let's continue that. That's part of the vision that you have chosen for your life as an apprentice of Jesus. It's part of the rule of life. That's a new, is anybody here even familiar with that phrase, rule of life? Raise your hand truly if you've heard of that. Pete Scazzaro uses it in Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's a good phrase, it's an old phrase, but it's a little old for us, so let me unpack what it means, and I'm gonna interchange it with vision and rule of life. They're the same thing. We are creating, and what I'm encouraging us to do today, and we're gonna talk about this and take a step, but we're going to engage in a practice of having an overall vision for your life, a rule of life that shapes the way that you practice the faith alongside Jesus. A clear vision of how we will live each day, each week, each month and year that is aligned with Jesus' teaching, with Jesus' life in Scripture, and is now in us. Here's the definition of a rule of life. It is a schedule and a set of practices and relational rhythms that creates space for us to be with Jesus, become like him, and do what he did. I'm going to read it again. A rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices and relational rhythms that create space for us to be with Jesus, become like him, and do what he did. It's a vision for your life. And as I just said, you guys already have a rule of life, or a part of your rule of life, a vision for your life that includes that as you follow Jesus, you gather together weekly and worship. Amen? Now, we have a clear vision for that, but most of us have a lot of ambiguity in a lot of the areas of our life where we don't have a clear vision of what the way that we're living. So to that degree, we're like those who don't practice the teachings of Jesus, and we're confused about, like, why isn't it working very well? I mean, I think I've covered that pretty well, but, I mean, have you guys been frustrated sometimes? Or you're sort of like, I'm supposed to be a non-anxious presence, and to be honest, I feel like I'm the most anxious presence in the room, and I got Jesus, so this is really not fair. No one else has experienced that. Okay, just me. All right, that's fine. I like that we get to come here for group therapy. It's less expensive. And I hope you guys are enjoying it, but I'm learning a lot. So when we begin to find, okay, I'm overwhelmed. I feel that there's got to be more in this. What we can do is begin to say, okay, so I'm supposed to have a vision for my life that's shaped by the practices of Jesus. And I think I'm following him pretty good, but yet I've got these other parts of my life that as a whole, it doesn't feel like it's working. And I'd like to suggest to you that we already have a rule of life, a vision for our life that has practices that are already in place. It's not that you don't have a rule of life or a vision for your life. It's that some of your vision and the practices within it, I'm going to just stick with the words practices for the sake of not being confusing. Some of the practices that you and I have based on our vision are doing exactly what they're designed to do. And you're experiencing the results of them. They're just bad practices. You're already doing, there's a business maxim and it says this, at some point, if you are the leader of your business, you have to take responsibility for the fact that everything that's happening has been designed by you and is doing exactly what it's designed to do. Did you catch that? So you're like, I don't understand why the culture in my company stinks so bad. Well, you're the CEO, so whatever you're doing, it's working. You might want to change what you're doing if you want a new culture in your company. Because you have the juice. You got the power to do that. And you're going to have to start taking responsibility that it's by design. Well, you guys are the CEO of this life. And you're learning from Jesus how to practice in such a way that it will create what it is that you want. So let's examine some of those practices. Would you guys agree that you have practices now? Okay, so let me just ask you guys and just shout it out to me, all right? But what would be some of the practices that you're currently engaging? For instance, let me ask you this. What do you do, what is your practice when you wake up on Monday morning? What's the first thing that you do? What is your practice? Wait, one at a time. What?
Groaning.
Okay, that's good. And then after groaning? Coffee. That's a practice. I'm with you on the coffee. Me and the Lord meet over a hot drink. How many of you guys, what's up?
When it's still dark, I stay in bed.
When it's still dark, he's in bed. The practice of waiting till the sun comes up. How many of you guys, your practice begins with a hot beverage? Yeah. That's a blessing from the Lord. All right. What happens next?
Get dressed.
You get dressed. That's good. Okay. Practice of something other than the Garden of Eden. You read your Bible. Do you do that every morning? Okay. How many of you here read the scriptures in the morning? About half of you? Okay. So you're in the practice of meditating on the scriptures in the morning. It's a good practice. How many of you would, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you would identify with that when you get up in the morning, or I would say it like this, how many of you sleep in as late as you possibly can. You don't have to raise your hand, but you're going to. Okay. I didn't want to single anybody out. You sleep in as late as you possibly can. Okay. And so that's a decision, right? That's a practice. So your value is, I'm going to sleep as late as I can. And so you do that. What happens next? Yes, you're in a mad rush, right? You went from the unhurried rhythms of grace to the hurried rhythms of something else. I have a practice, and I'm changing it. I'm working on this right now, but it's related to that practice of trying to sleep as long as you can. And you know where I'm going with this, but I have a practice that I have held of trying to get as much as I can into each 24-hour day. Does anybody else here do that? Like, I mean, we church it up, right? Maximizing, seize the day, carpe the diem, right? Okay, and it sounds good. But if you're like me, you forget that there's going to be a tomorrow. And I will find myself having overcommitted. And if you ever see me on 99, I want to just ask for your forgiveness. That I'm behind people and I have to say to myself, Joshua, just because you put too much into this day doesn't mean everyone on this road is an idiot. Not a great kingdom principle, right? But I have done that. If I'm ever behind you, I promise it's not you though. It's those other people. I'm working on it. I had to start putting margins into my day because I was in the practice of putting too much into my day. And then it was creating havoc so that I wasn't present with the people that I'm with because I showed up late and felt bad and I need to leave because I'm going to be late for the next thing. And so I was in the practice of, rather than being present with people and God, I was in a hurry and dangerous on 99 and other roads. If you're in the practice of waking up as close to not being late as you can, could it be that you might be reinforcing something in your life each day that you're now in a hurry and that there's not enough time to get everything done in this day? And each day you meditate, rather than meditating on the steps of the righteous are ordered by God or taking that space and that time. I'm not even saying that you have to. For some of you, your quality time that you give to the Lord, we covered this in a previous sermon, your quality time that we give to the Lord is not in the morning. And that's okay, right? Your quality time might be in the afternoon. It might be in the evening. But there is a time that you want to give quality time to the Lord each day. And it might not be morning for you. But I'd like to suggest in the practice of this that what if you began your day in a way that left room for a greeting for the Lord, maybe the Lord's prayer, and time for a cup of coffee where you're not rushing from the very moment you get up and actually reinforcing adrenaline, concern, stress, pressure, and a lack of space for the things that you need, that's not maybe the healthiest way to be in a practice of following God. That you might change that practice and say, you know what, I'm gonna move that back a little bit so that I at least give myself a half an hour to engage in this day in a different way. It's a practice to be present with the Lord and others. Are you able to receive that maybe? It's a thought. Jesus had practices in his life that we just covered them, and to say them a different way, I would say it like this. It's been laid out, but it's this, is that Jesus, and we've taught about this over the last few weeks, he teaches us about Sabbath, that you have a day weekly that you would receive the gift of Sabbath. We talked about that. Prayer. Jesus prayed always, but he also prayed in solitude often, daily, as was his custom. He'd rise up in the morning and he would spend that time beginning with the Lord in prayer. He practiced fasting. Solitude, generosity, being in the scriptures. Everything that he learned from the scriptures. Do you have a practice of being in the scriptures at this time consistently? He practiced community. He taught us how to love others as he loves us. He was with us. He continues to be with us, and he calls us to be together. He practiced service. He took off his outer garment and tied it around his waist and washed everyone's feet and said, do likewise. And he practiced witness. He practiced sharing the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. These were the practices, 9 overall practices that Jesus had a vision for his life that he engaged in. And we're called to engage those same things. Now, I've covered a lot. Are you guys still tracking with me okay? All right, so today what we're going to talk about as we close is I want us to just take a step. I'm not even going to ask you to make a decision right now. What I'm going to ask you to do is to consider the decision that you will make in the overall vision that you're creating for your life with Jesus. And I want you to begin to consider, 1, do I have a rule of life? Do I have a coherent vision for what life I will live? Am I accounting for the practices that I have? I use the example of getting up early or on time in order to have space. I use the example of the Sabbath. I use the example of coming and worshiping together, meeting in community. These are things that Jesus did, and as his apprentices, we need to be doing each of these things. But the way that we organize that is going to be specific in some places and contextual to the life that you live. Jesus lived in Galilee, and he was a carpenter. And he could go out, you know, Steve pointed out, and pray in solitude in the mountains. But you might live in Springfield or Santa Clara. If you were going to be in solitude, where would you go pray? There you go, Aubrey Park. So there are things where you will choose, you and the Lord, where you will practice these things. And I want you to just start small. Start where you are right now and say, okay, Lord, first of all, I don't know if I've ever even thought about, do I have a vision for my life? When Karen and I were in Youth with a Mission, which is a discipleship training school, they asked us to begin this practice. They said, have you written a vision for your life? And I was immediately overwhelmed and felt like, oh, what am I even going to do with that? And so I really put that off. I procrastinated, blah, blah, blah. But when I got to it, we made one step while we were there, and it was simply this. At that time, Karen and I were incredible team members of serving within the church. But we actually weren't that great at being Team Revis. And what that equaled was, we were either at someone's house, at church doing something, or someone was at our house 6 to 7 nights a week, every week, always. And we were a good team players, good hosts, so we enjoyed that. We enjoyed working together, but we were missing a sense of peace, a sense of unhurriedness. We were very hurried, very busy. And so here's what we ended up doing. We wrote in the vision for our life, we wrote as a part of practice of our rule of life, was that we would be home, just the Revis family, just Team Revis, 4 nights a week. And we would do the other work 3 nights a week. Now, we quickly learned that that was too zealous, Joshua Revis and his big black and white rules right away, and it needed to be 3 nights a week. So it became the practice after being adjusted, and we talked through that, became that we were actually home, just the family, 3 nights a week. And it began to transform the sense of peace and space and health in our lives, and it made our marriage so much better. There were some distances, some things that got changed, but overall, our life became more like Jesus. Our home became more of a place of peace. Our lives became more peaceful. The unforced rhythms of his grace became evident in that space. One decision, and it became a practice. So what I want to encourage us to do as we prepare to step out is I want to ask you to do this. I want you to consider, what are your daily practices as a follower of Christ? What are your weekly practices as a follower of Christ? One of them is to come worship on Sunday. Let's keep doing that. What are your monthly practices of following Christ? Our executive pastor, Janelle Wallace, came to me at a certain point. And she said, I really want to encourage you. I think it's really important that you go away. That's all she said. I'm just kidding. That you go away and spend a day in solitude with Jesus once a month. And I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and I talked to Karen about it, and she also agreed, which kind of hurt my feelings. No. But I do that, and I miss it sometimes, and you can tell when I miss it. But that day has become a beachhead for me, and whenever I take that time to just go be alone, which is a challenge for me, my personality type is I don't like to be alone for very long. But it's important for me. I have to work through that, and as I do, I always meet with Jesus, even if I don't get some revelatory download, it quiets me back to a space of those unforced rhythms of his grace. And that's become a monthly practice. Jesus went away to desolate places to be alone with his Father. We are called to go away in regular intervals to be alone with the Father. Not as a mom, not as a dad, not as a brother, not as a sister, an aunt, a CEO or anything else, but a son or a daughter with our Father and our big brother Jesus. You guys see that? Now I'm sharing these things, and here's the step. I want to ask you to consider, and I'm gonna give you just 2 minutes to think about it. I want you to consider, what is a practice that maybe you've done before, but it's fallen out, that the Lord might be calling you to put into the vision of your life, a practice that you're adding to the rule of life that causes you to be in step with the rhythms, the cadence, the practices of Jesus. What's something that he would bring to you? And if you're married, I want you to discuss it with your spouse so that you guys can talk this through and you can write it down. We're gonna, whatever. The scripture in Habakkuk 2:2 says this, write the vision and make it plain that he may run who reads it. Most of us don't write things down. I want to say that this is a very important thing that you would write down with your spouse. If you're single, I want you to get with one of your dear brothers or sisters in the Lord, one of your friends, and say, here's what I'm thinking about. And they're going to help you. And you're going to help them to process because they know you. You might be like me. I wanted to go away for 2 weeks in solitude to a cabin, and my whole team laughed at me. And they were like, you'll be dead. You'll die. And they made a shirt to make fun of me because I said, I don't want to cheapen it. And then they laughed again. And Jason made me a shirt that said, Fortnite cabin. Stay 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Don't cheapen it. I would have died. It wouldn't have worked. But I do go away for one day. I'm working my way up to two. But let someone process it with you because the Lord is going to speak to each of us to call us into having a way that we continue to practice those things that Jesus has taught us. Let me give you one more. What's a current practice that the Lord would impress on you that you would consider, here's something I'm doing that I need to stop doing? What's a practice that you're recognizing? Maybe for some of you, it's like, I need to stop trying to get as much sleep as I possibly can without being late for work. That might be a good one. I might let that one go. I'm just using that because it's an example and I'm trying to use less words. But what's something, God, that you've been currently practicing that you're going to talk that over daily, weekly, or monthly? I feel like the Lord's saying, I need to exchange this practice for something else. Something you're taking off and something you're bringing in. Amen? Will you consider these things? All right. I'd like the ministry team to come forward, and we're going to pray with those of you that need some prayer for the breakthrough, for healing, for what you're doing in your work, for what you're doing in your family. We want to agree for God's kingdom purposes in your life. So the ministry team's coming to serve in that way. And Doug Easterday, who's one of our elders here, is going to pray one of the apostolic prayers in Scripture over us as we close, and then you're dismissed.